We want to spend some time together in God's Word, and this morning I'm reading from Zechariah chapter 4, page 670 in the Pew Bible there. So if you want to take one and follow along, page 670. And let's stand together as we honor God's Word and read it together this morning. Zechariah 4 and verse 1 says, "Then the angel who talked with me returned and wakened me as a man is wakened from his sleep. He asked me, 'What do you see?' I answered, 'I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lights on it, with seven channels to the lights. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left.' I asked the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my lord?' He answered, 'Do you not know what these are?' 'No, my lord,' I replied. So he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground. And then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of 'God bless it, God bless it.' Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel.'" And we'll go just that far. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your word. Would you bless it to our hearts today and strengthen us through it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm kind of excited because I have always loved this passage, but this is actually, I think, the first time that I ever preached on it. And so it's good to do that. I also would give a disclaimer. You'll notice that the slides this morning are not up to par, and that's because our brother Alex did not do them. I did. So I apologize for them in advance, and Alex will do better at getting it to you sooner next time. We titled these thoughts, "Not Our Strength," and as we think upon his word this morning, there are so many great lessons for us in this chapter. And that's one of the reasons why I love it so. One of the big issues that people face today, and we see it more and more, is this thing sometimes called burnout, sometimes called other things. Stress seems to be one of those things that afflicts everybody in our society in these times. And there's a wonderful lesson for us here. How do we avoid those kind of things? And it's through learning the lessons of God's Word and applying them to our lives. And so when you think about stress and anxiety and all of those kind of things, I recommend Zechariah chapter 4, and we'll look at these lessons together this morning. May they encourage us today. The first lesson that I would take out of this text is, you are not expected to do it alone. Isn't that part of the reason why we get stressed and strained and anxious about things? Look at what I have to do. Well, the good news is that you don't have to do it alone. God does not expect you or me to accomplish things alone, nor in our own strength. And that's one of those little woo-hoo kind of moments, isn't it? I don't have to do it alone. It is such a miserable feeling when you feel like everything rests on your shoulders and it's all up to you. Well, the good news is, no. You are in a partnership with Christ. If he is your Savior, if you have asked him to be your Lord and given him the reins or the driving wheel of your life. He does not expect you to go it alone and do it alone. As a Christian, we must just trust and obey the Word of God, and His steady supply is seen in this chapter. Those olive trees are pouring the oil in so that the light never went out. And oh, I rejoice in the fact that the Spirit of God is able to do that in your life and in mine, to pour in what is necessary, to bring along the answers that we just can't seem to find, and it is always a sufficient supply. I am happy to tell you that in the years of life the Lord has given me and the years that I have had to walk with Him, He has never been insufficient, and His supply has never been short. Yes, there have been times when I have been in panic. Where is that going to come from? But oh, what a blessing it is when you look at this text. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, you know, there are only two possibilities for life. As we think about it, we can try to live it in our own strength and in the flesh and the intellect and so on that we have, and we will fail. There'll always be something missing. The second possibility is that we can learn to be directed by the Spirit of God and filled by the Spirit of God so that we can walk in His guidance and know that He has an answer no matter what the issue might be. I don't know about you, but I am so grateful for that. When we try to do things in our own strength, it just doesn't go anywhere. Let me refer you to 1 Corinthians 3 in verses 12 through 15. This is what it says. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. You see, those things that are used, there are some that are precious, and they're not affected by the fire. Those precious things are not tainted by the fire. In fact, I remember reading a book called Gold Fears No Fire, and it's true. But those things like wood, hay, and stubble, when the fire comes, they disappear and they're gone. And so it is when we spend our lives pandering to the flesh and to our own ideas and thoughts, they do not stand in eternity. But when we build our life on eternal things, that personal relationship with Christ, that knowledge of the fullness of His Spirit, that sense of walking with Him in destiny, knowing that there is a day when we will be with Him forever, those are the things that will stand and the things that will last. You and I, we're not expected to accomplish things for God, nor to live this life in our own strength and do it alone. God has made provision for us by His Spirit, through His Spirit. One year when I was pastoring in Arundale Alliance Church in Saskatoon, I had three heavy hits in 2 days. One of my elders came along and said, "Pastor, my wife has cancer." Another of my elders came along and said, "Pastor, I have cancer." And my associate pastor came in and said, "My wife has cancer." You know, my heart just was broken. The pain, the anguish, the stress. And I didn't know what to do. And I simply add this little story as a testimony to what Judy was sharing this morning about corporate prayer. I got up the following Sunday to the pulpit and said, "Folks, I've been here for years. I never asked you to do anything for me, but I'm asking you today, would you come to the prayer meeting? It'll just be 30 minutes. Come as families. Bring the children." Yes, bring the children. Now, there won't be any preaching. I promise I won't preach at all. There'll just be a list of things to pray for. There were 174 people in the prayer meeting that week. And people said to me, "Pastor, this was great. We ought to do it again. Can we do it again?" And what am I going to say? No. All through that month, every prayer meeting night, we met just for 30 minutes and prayed. On the second one of our dear ladies came and she said, "Pastor, have you been in the children's prayer meeting?" I said, "No." "Come with me," she said. And we went into the fellowship hall, and here are the children sitting in a big circle. And I listened as they prayed. "Dear God, would you touch my grandma? She's really sick. Lord Jesus, thank you for helping her." And somebody else praying, "Lord Jesus, thank you that we can talk to you too. It's not just the big people. You hear our prayers as well." If you're in the front rows, you can see the tears are coming as I think about it. Because you see, we think about prayer sometimes in the craziest of ways and things, and we're intimidated. We don't know how to pray. And what if somebody hears us and they say, "You said something wrong"? Those kids didn't care. They just lifted their heart to Christ. All three of those people lived for at least 15 years, and one of those elders is still living today. In fact, he was at worship with us here in this church in July. You see, when God's people pray together, amazing things happen. You do not have to do it alone. God doesn't expect that. But when we come together, there is that outpouring and uplifting that comes through the ministry of His Spirit. The things that remain are the things that we do under His direction and under His guidance and leadership. What are you facing today, church, that God cannot undertake for? Where is our society going that God cannot turn it around? Where is the power of the Holy Spirit? As Elisha took Elijah's robe and hit the water in front of him, he said, "Where is the God of Elisha?" How about that same God is your God and mine? Oh, how we need a visitation of His Spirit in our lives. Secondly, as we think about this wonderful text this morning, the second lesson I would draw out of it is that you are commissioned for His work in verses 7 through 9. Let me just come to verse 7. It says, "What are you, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground." There is this sense of an obstacle right there in front that says, you cannot do this, you cannot proceed any further. And oh, my dear friends, here is a text that says, "What are you, mountain? You'll be leveled." obstacles removed. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, and verses 1 through 6, let me just slip over there and read them. Here is what they say. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor in Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in. Listen to this next phrase. Every mountain shall be made low. The crooked shall become straight and the rough ways smooth. And all mankind will see God's salvation. Wow. You see, there it is again. Obstacles removed. If revival were to come today, what would it look like? It would look like this. This text, the obstacles removed, and you and I before a holy God, not in our righteousness, but in His. Not in our truth, but in His. Not in our way, but in His. Because He has commissioned us as His people to do the work that He calls us to do. And we can be confident. John, where does it say that in Zechariah 4, that we can be confident? Well, let me read verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to me, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands also will complete it. Oh, doesn't Philippians 1, 6 tell us that he who began a good work in us will also complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He is so able. We can have confidence. We don't need to feel so overcome by the obstacles and the mountains that are before us. God is so able, so powerful, so strong. And this is in part what keeps me going. On Wednesday, I got to speak to over 80 people at the RCMP Heritage Center. The meeting was called Counterterrorism Information Officers, and a former terrorist was asked to share, how did you become radicalized? But God is so good, because they said, you could also tell us how you became unradicalized. And so I'm standing there saying, I read the Bible, and as I read it, I knew that I needed Christ. And when I cried out to Christ, all of the pressure, all of the guilt, all of the shame, all of the misery of living 4 years in that nonsense was washed away in the blood of the Lamb. And a brand new life came. Oh, dear friends, you and I, we are commissioned for the work, and we can be confident that just as Zerubbabel and Joshua finish the work that God calls them to do here in Zechariah, we also will finish the work that He calls us to as we walk in obedience to Him and in the fullness of His Holy Spirit. For several years, I was on the Canadian board of the Emmanuel Hospital Association. They have 19 Christian hospitals in north central India. And I remember Dr. Shah, one of the early doctors, Christian doctors there in India. He was here in Canada, and he was telling the story of how he got the first space for a Christian hospital. Everybody told him, you'll never get a place. Nobody will ever open up a place for you to have this Christian thing. And as he prayed and sought God, a local Maharaja sent for him and said, my wife is very sick. She is dying. The doctors tell me there is no hope. You're a Christian. Can you do anything? And he prayed and treated her, and she recovered. And the Maharaja said, I have this empty building. Would you ever have any interest in it? Oh, God is so able. He can do those things in a heartbeat. Filled with the Spirit of God and with His mighty power, fully equipped to serve and to grow. And that's why we have the kickoff every fall for Sunday school and all of these other ministries. It's so that you and I can grow. I was in the Sunday school class downstairs this morning, and Adrian Rogers got under my skin. It was wonderful. I encourage you to engage and grow in your strength and faith in Christ. And I also would ask you this morning, what is your mountain today? You see, those mountains seem so big, insurmountable, but they're not. God is able, so very able, as we bring our need to Him and as we trust Him, and as we ask for the fullness of His Spirit, oh, God is so able to take your life and mine and to make out of it all that it can be and all that it could be. In the fullness of His Spirit, there is gifting that covers every avenue of life and ministry. Thirdly, as we think about this text this morning, I would say to you there is another lesson. You work where He is working. We think about verse 10 here. I like this verse so much. It says, who despises the day of small things? Now, I'm not much over 5 feet tall. And I know about small things. You see, God's way of working is different than the world's way of working. We read in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. And He uses things that, oh, we could only imagine. Small things. He speaks here about Zerubbabel with the plumb line, just a plumb line. You would think if somebody was going to change the world, he'd have a sword or something in his hand, but a plumb line? Because you see, it's important that life be straight and that things be built right. I asked a Salvation Army officer in Ireland one day, what is the shortest gospel message that you can possibly preach? Thinking that it would be maybe 15 minutes long or something like that. Instead, he said, turn right, go straight. Turn right to Christ and go straight on with Him and walk with Him and know His fullness and know His plan and desire for your life as you're surrendered to Him. Oh, the world despises small things. That won't amount to anything. That'll never change the world. Think about it. God in Zechariah called two men, Joshua and Zerubbabel, to rebuild the temple and to set things straight and right. Just two. God can take your life and mine. And you know the saying as well as I do. One with God is a majority. I heard somebody whisper it, but it is so true. You think about other Bible illustrations. David, he goes to face what? Goliath. What with? A little stone. Just a little stone. That's what brought the giant down. And you read in Daniel that there is a rock that comes and demolishes the mountain and that rock is Christ. You consider other Bible examples, God's people enslaved in Egypt, and what does God send? A massive army to straighten them out? No. He sends Moses with a staff and a stammer. Don't despise the day of small things. Church, don't get depressed looking at the things of the world and where it's going. Look instead to Christ. Make sure that you have asked for the fullness of His Spirit. And sometimes people say to me, well, I don't know whether I'm filled with the Spirit or not. And I just say, when the Holy Spirit fills you, you will know. Work where He is working. Esther, a young woman. What could she do? She influenced a king and turned the whole thing around so that God's people were saved instead of massacred. Ah, He works in such wonderful ways. And the greatest of all, when God wanted to redeem people and bring forgiveness to them so that they didn't have to carry the load of guilt and shame for all the wrong and so on, He sent a little baby to be born in Bethlehem who would grow and walk in Palestine and who would give His body to the cross, despising the shame, the book of Hebrews says, so that you and I could be free. Oh, work where He is working. Ask Him, Lord, what can I do to serve You? How can I experience this sense of God at work in my life and in this world? Small things. I remember reading one of the biographies about Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was going to preach in the Crystal Palace in London. And to try out the acoustics, he walked into the building, walked into the middle of the stage and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Sounded okay, so he left. And 2 weeks later, a man came to see him and said, I'm a carpenter. I was fixing some seats away up at the back of that great Crystal Palace. And when you spoke that one word, I was so convicted I could no longer work. I went home and I said, God, I need to be right with You. Show me how to be saved. He told Spurgeon, it might seem crazy to you, just a little thing, but it brought God's salvation into my life. Oh, my dear friends, I must quit for time's sake, but if you got the idea that I'm a little excited about God's Word and the author of it, you would be right. He has so many good things to give to us as we walk in obedience to Him. Let's apply these lessons to our lives this week. And remember, just as the words of an old song say, little is much if God is in it. And as we just surrender to Him, He comes to us and takes over. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that it's not by might and not by power. Thank You that You don't expect any of us to go it alone. It's by Your Spirit. And thank You that You've commissioned us for the work and equipped us for it so that none of us need feel unnecessary or unimportant. And thank You, Father, that we can work in partnership with You where You are working. Would You lead us in the days of this week, Lord? Would You help us just to continue to grow close to You? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.